Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio today, we have a numerologist. Wynn Marie Lacey also is a life coach. She's a certified coach in, at the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, and I'm just grateful to have her here in studio because, Wynn, you are the first numerologist we've had in the program.
Yeah, well, we like to hide out in the rocks and, not make ourselves known.
Right? So. You got to be careful because apparently you and the astrologers have a lot in common, so...
I know. How did you find me, even? Do you even know?
Dory. Yeah. Dory Rodriguez, yeah. A mutual friend. She was like, oh.
Shout out to Dory Rodriguez.
You know what? A friend who is a good connector is a good friend to have.
And she is, yes.
And she and I are very similar like that. If I meet with somebody and they're talking and I'll like intuitively think, they need to know Gigi or they need to meet Therese. And that's kind of how Dory and I roll. And that's what happened. We were having coffee and she was like, you need to know when. I'm like, okay, write the email. Thank you very much.
And I took a shower today and I like came out of my house. And
well,
I'm
please, you're adorable.
You.
And, and let's be honest, you got your start as a Chicago lovable and everybody loves the lovables.
Yes.
So how do you
Hence
go from,
name.
Yes, how do you go from being an adorable lovable to an adorable numerologist? Talk to me about your journey. I know some about it, but the listeners don't. So fill them in.
Yeah, well, you know, the coolest thing about spirituality and numerology together is that you can take any superficial situation in your life and it matters and it means something. So there's no reason why I couldn't learn from professional cheerleading and my experiences. But now, you know, I'm trying to concentrate a little bit more on learning from numerology and other spiritual endeavors. So, you know, to me, it's all worthwhile. It's all valid. And by going through your numerology chart, you can find that out. But anyway, how did I start? Well, I had a child. And it just spun me in a whole new direction. And when I had a girl, secondly, I started asking my question, like, would I want my daughter to be a professional cheerleader? You know, knowing what I know and how we are somewhat looked at. That's a whole nother show.
No, I was going to say, so actually this is really important and poignant with what's been going on in the world.
Yes.
Because some people would say that the cheerleader is basically representing what's wrong with a lot of things because they are there to be eye candy, to be honest. And so, and you were in it in the throes of this. Like I was telling you some broadcasting stories off mic, but you know, it was okay to just say really inappropriate things to women. And it still is in some places, unfortunately, as we're finding out daily.
Yes.
All these stories are coming out. And now you as a parent of a daughter, you know, how are you supportive of that world now? Are you supportive of the cheerleading world? I mean, it's so much different now. I feel like it's much more physical and
really
building.
Not.
Oh, really?
No, I still believe it is created by men for men. And that's how it started.
Okay. I'm thinking of like those professional cheerleading contests where they have like the pyramids.
Yeah.
And you know, but I see you're talking about like at the Blackhawks game. Where you have the ice skaters that are in half shirts basically to scoop up the froth. I mean,
yes. And I love these are the women that I work with and they are the women that I love and I have so much compassion for them. I'm actually doing a side research project on interviewing professional cheerleaders and their experience of it and why they were motivated to do it because I'm curious for myself is why did I do that? But a lot of there's so many things that being in the uniform gives you permission to do that you don't get to do regularly in feminine life. Because as you know, there's certain things in which you're like, you can do that as a woman and you can't do that as a woman. So being in the uniform allows some of us to explore those parts of our femininity that maybe we weren't so comfortable with. It also gives people an opportunity to work on teamwork. And there's so many benefits to it that you don't see. And that is part of my
the way you coach.
Yeah. And so the life coaching came in when I was realizing that women in general have a hard time communicating to each other.
Right.
And there was no need for that. And also it would boil down to the fact that if women started to love themselves more, that they would actually be able to share that better with their teammates.
Right.
And then it actually spilled over into giving our client a better professional cheerleader, which is what we are. We are totally integrated with the marketing department. And we've turned into such a neat group of women over the course of having to fish through all these 1970s belief systems.
Right.
And so that all of that culminated in a time when I was so conflicted about what I did. I literally felt like I split in half. I woke up one morning and I don't know if you've ever had vertigo.
Yeah.
But I literally felt like I was outside of myself and that I was walking outside of myself and I was like I couldn't live with my, it sounds so cheesy, like the Eckhart Tolle, or however you say his name, like mm-hmm. says, like, I literally couldn't live with myself anymore. And then he's like, well, if I'm here and I'm also over there, how do I reconcile this? And right. that just sent me on this crazy spiritual journey. And for me, numerology was, like I was joking with you earlier, it's like the gateway drug. You know, it's mm-hmm. the safest, easiest way to get involved to me in spirituality. And it's super boring to read about. Like, all the books I read were like snoozers. Mm-hmm. But the more I practiced it and became in relationship with it for myself, and then I started to talk to people about it, like we talked earlier about yours, and there's a lot of head nodding and like, oh gosh, yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's, oh, you mean there is sort of a blueprint for me? And then I was able to go back and reflect on my professional cheerleading experience and say, okay, how do I fully integrate this into myself, and how do I become more of an advocate for the professional cheerleader and the community that I work in? And I don't care how superficial it is, it's still meaningful, it's still part of the feminine story, and I want to tell it better. So that's a whole nother podcast.
Well, that's important, because if you're coaching these cheerleaders now and you're in, you know, doing life coaching and telling them about their numbers and all these things about mm-hmm. why they have to feel that sex sells, or mm-hmm. why they have to, you know, maybe they have unresolved family issues, so they're just going for the self-esteem boost right. of I've got a cute body and this is going to work for me right mm-hmm. now. All these power plays that happen with that position. Mm-hmm. How do you help coach them through that and get them to value themselves without the half shirt?
Well, a lot of it, like we talked about earlier, was with their consciousness. It's mm-hmm. mostly bringing to their conscious awareness what they're unconsciously doing, mm-hmm. right? So, so many of us are not conscious. We aren't even remotely aware of why we came into professional cheerleading. We might have a story and tell you, but until you truly self-reflect and you go back and you go, okay, well, there's some reasons why I came in that are not being satisfied, and actually this is starting to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that so much on my teams and with all of the women that I worked with, that I literally broke in half one day. Mm-hmm. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it sent me on this spiritual journey. And now I'm able to like integrate, like, I love these women. Mm-hmm. I have compassion for them. They're so high achieving and they're so lovely. And if I just sit down and get to know them as people and spirits,
right.
I have a totally different conversation than if I look at them the way they looked at them in the 1970s, which is, I want you as a man to entertain me mm-hmm. and to bring more people to the TV, the viewer.
Right.
And so I do love that there's this Me Too, as I'm interviewing these professional cheerleaders actually right now. I interviewed one yesterday and I asked her that question about the, how do they feel? Like, did you ever allow something to occur in you, in the uniform, that you wouldn't have allowed outside of the uniform? And undoubtedly, we all say yes, for the most part,
mm-hmm.
because there's like, well, I just kind of thought that was part of my job, or I just thought that was part of what was expected of me, and or it seemed okay for some reason, mm-hmm. you know. And
do you walk up to some of these girls sometimes and say, okay, I know you're a five, so this is the deal. You got an excuse, but you got to work through this and bring in a little bit more of your four.
No, okay. But I would love to. I use a lot more of the IPEC coaching, the okay. energy leadership coaching okay. with this. And we call it, I jokingly call it cheerleadership, because I'm a, you know, a
right.
goofball.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just talk about that. We try to pinpoint our unconscious behaviors and mm-hmm. make them conscious, and then make different conscious choices. And that goes along with the number. So mm-hmm. as I was saying to you, you'll have a number.
Right.
And
tell the listener how they can find out their number. What do they need to add up to find? Because there's different numbers. You've got, you know, souls yeah. and your journey. And so can you explain that if they're driving right now and they want to do this later? Don't do it now, because we need to write this down. But how do they add up their number?
Yeah. So every letter in the alphabet mm-hmm. translates to a number. And okay. every number is already a number. And what numerologists do is they take those full, whether it's your full name or your full birth date, and they just add up all the numbers. And then you get...
And do you believe you should add up the full name and the birth date, and then all those numbers become a number, and that's their personal number?
I don't do that. No, you're so there's two reasons that mm-hmm. you would talk to a numerologist.
Okay.
One is who you are, which mm-hmm. meaning if you were to light up your spine and all your chakras mm-hmm. and whatever else you can talk about energy, is there's something that drives you inside of you, and there's one number that talks about that, and then mm-hmm. it full, just as there's a thousand, how many chakras are there, like, I don't know, 72 or
more
something?
Than seven, yeah
mm-hmm. it just that there are smaller chakras or smaller numbers inside of your energy field that are playing to your full number. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah. But then how do they get the number for each letter?
So the A is the first letter of the alphabet, mm-hmm. and that translates to one, and B translates to two. And
got it.
C.
So it's just the number of the alphabet. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
so
get those numbers. It
goes up to 26, and you add all those numbers up. With, right. Like for mine, it's Jennifer Colleen Weigel. But then you also did one with Jen Weigel because I go by Jen Weigel.
Well, everybody, for the most part, goes by their first name. Mm-hmm. Like that's your most important name.
Yeah.
And you hear it more than anything. So when someone doesn't go by their full name and they change from Jennifer to Jen, it's interesting to me because Jennifer is one name, mm-hmm. but Jen is a master number 11. So once you truncate down to one number, so let's say one of the numbers in your letter, your name is Z.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 26.
Right.
2 plus 6 is 8. So you always take it down to that single number.
Got it.
Now, let's say you end up with 8 plus 3, and that's mm-hmm. 11. That's
right.
considered a master number. So,
you don't go 1 plus 1 is 2. You keep it at 11.
Right.
Oh,
and then
okay.
it's to talk, and then you would talk to that person a little bit more about there's more to this too than would maybe feel in your energy field on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also explain why you're driven into the spiritual realm. Because 11 is considered to me the Jesus number. It's like self-illumination. So you have mm-hmm. this one next to this one, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a single person completely identified and in line with one, which is universe or source or God or whatever you want to call it. So Jesus, to me, was like a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wrote out Jesus' name, J-E-S-U-S, mm-hmm. That would add up to actually adds up to 11.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
which
interesting.
Is totally awesome freak stuff that
yeah.
I love about numbers.
Well, when I went, so now for people out there that are listening, if they see a lot of number patterns, what would that mean? So for me, when I went to meet John of God in Toronto, the healer, my room was 1111. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow.
So that wouldn't make it a 4. That would make it 1111. Or what would that be, a 4? I mean,
yeah. Well,
when do you stop and when do you start with 11?
Well, that's what I love about numerology is, as I was saying to you earlier, there's no dogmas or formulas or mm-hmm. anything. Once you know what the number means, then right. you can take it into your experience and say, there are patterns in my life where I always see the number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm seeing the number 4444. Like, mm-hmm. it's like screaming at me.
Me too.
Right? So you're thinking what you want to know, say is, let's say spirit is trying to find ways to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And just plain old English doesn't work.
Right.
So it's either a symbol or a string of numbers or whatever. And so as that number means something to you, when you see it over and over in a pattern, then mm-hmm. you identify like, oh, that's spirit just finding a way to talk to me, whether it's through the number, whether it's through the astrologer, mm-hmm. whether it's through the psychic that you have in front of you talking to you about your family that's behind them. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so in my mind, the universe will use any and every moment it can to talk to you. And it's not going to use plain old English. It's going to use symbols and channelers and mm-hmm. and all kinds of things. And so to me, numerology is just one of the ways the universe is like, hey, what's up?
Knock, knock, knock.
Yeah, like you're clearly not focusing on this and we really want you to.
So let's go through then the energy of each number, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, just the
mm-hmm.
single numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have them memorized, but if what is a 1 mean?
I do know how to count to 9.
Okay,
yes.
What does the 1 mean?
So the 1 is always about new beginnings in... So there's different ways to look at the numbers. You can look at the numbers why you're here
mm-hmm.
or who you are.
Well, how about if you see 3 7s in a row and a lot all day?
Yeah.
You know, what is that? What's that sign? What's
yeah.
that wink?
So the symbol of the 7, mm-hmm. well, I'll just go through the numbers.
Okay.
So the 1, because each number plays and builds on itself. So
okay.
the 1 is about finding yourself as a person, an individual, and being independent.
Okay.
And if you can do that, then you can... you can honestly become a supporter to someone else, which would be the 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like to use that as the Adam and Eve representative. Adam was singularly here. He could do everything he wanted. He had all kinds of, you know, apparently in the story, he has all power across all these things. But then he got lonely. So you want to share with someone. So the 2 energy, it would be Eve, and she comes in and is no less than him,
mm-hmm.
just becomes a supporter to what it is that he is leading for their family.
Got it.
Okay. 1 plus 2 is 3. So simply that would be the optimistic child when 1 and 2 come together, when male and female energy come together. we make an optimistic child. They come out, they're always freaking happy. You never, have you ever seen a kid come out and doesn't run around and doesn't want to be in, explore life? And
right.
just as like the joy of, you know, eating dirt. I mean, whatever it is, the coolest, it's my number personally, which is why I think I gravitated towards professional cheerleading, because it is about expressing fun and love and lightness.
Right.
So that's what a three energy is about.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the four, which is the opposite of the three. It's the hardworking, limitation. You know, if you look at a piece of paper, we have four corners. We have four corners of a circular earth. What the heck? You know,
yeah.
It's, that's true. We, you know, we have
the
four.
The box. You think of a box.
Yeah.
It's like,
so,
you know, putting someone in a box.
It's saying, okay, you've been a free-rolling kid, but now let's put some discipline and order to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what you can do around your limitations. Because when you know your limitations, guess what? You can set the highest goal for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be why you're seeing all those fours, saying, you know, fully come into the reason why. You know, why do you need to know your limitations?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can set your highest goal around it. Because okay. I don't have umpteen million years of my life. I don't have umpteen million. So I need to focus and think, what do I want to work hard at?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what the four will ask us to do.
Right.
And then the five comes along and blows everybody out of the water and is the most adventurous and breaking out of that four mold and saying, okay, I know what my limitations are.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with those and now I'm ready to have adventure and play around with my five senses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we get to six, and on the sixth day, God created man supposedly in the, you know, the story. And so it really is about man. It's about caring for other men. It's about, I've had my experiences. I've had myself, I've had my couple relationships, whatever. But then the six is really breaking down, like either caring for a community, a family, whatever you can. And then the seventh day, again in the story, God rests. And he, it's very sacred spiritual number because, like I was saying to you earlier, there's seven colors of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
There's seven deadly sins. There's seven sacraments. There's 7 days of the week. There's something about the fact that we know our physical world is limited, but yet there's still that pot at the end of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
There's still colors inside the rainbow that we can't see. So our physical body limits us at the seven, and the seven's job then is to go and search for, well, what, how do I get connected to the invisible world? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then eight is as above, so below. These two, a circle on top of a circle. Whatever I think is power in heaven, I'm going to bring it down to earth, and that's the bottom circle. So it's kind of this constant motion of going up to heaven and bringing it down to earth. And unfortunately, many people mistake power as, you know,
wealth.
Yeah, or something that they can't get enough of and eventually will break down and show you that it isn't everything. So it's truly the eight's job to find the real satisfaction. Not that they can't have material abundance.
Right.
That's one of the powers.
Right. Okay.
And then nine is the is the end. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of the one. The one is all about being self-centered and self-sufficient, and the nine is all about being selfless.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you add a number to the nine, so seven plus nine, it just goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it truly is someone who stands, or that energy stands for an ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have clean water, so everyone should have clean water.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what that person's ego or personality is really like. It's like the Dalai Lama. You know what he stands for, but you don't know him as a person. So the nine would be that person or that energy that's asking us to do that, to really embrace that selfless side of ourselves after we've had all these other experiences, one through eight.
You know, we sat around one Christmas, a couple days before Christmas, and my cousin was really into this. And he took everyone's name and he added them up. And that's when he said to me, oh my gosh, Jen, you have so many fives.
Yeah.
And I'm
ridiculous.
Like, what does it mean? And so here in your chart that you made for me, you're talking about expression and what you offer in life. And you kind of take what each of the numbers through your name, you circled the number that you know, how many times you have that number.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a five in my name, or is it my name and birthday?
Just your name.
Just the name.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
Yes.
It's all fives all the time.
Yeah.
And then I have 1, 2, 3, 4 number threes,
yes.
And 1, 2, 3, 3 nines. three sixes, 1 7, 1 1, no 8, no 4, no 2.
Yes.
And it's weird because those are the numbers I'm seeing all the time. Yes. 2s in a row, 4s in a row, and 8s in a row.
So imagine that you come into this life with a toolbox and you're carrying your toothbox and you're walking and life throws a curveball at you. And what you're going to do naturally is reach back into your toolbox for help, and more than likely you're going to pick out the 5.
Right.
Okay, so what Spirit may be asking you to do now is say, hey, let's add a circle around your 2 and 4 and 8, which is going to not feel comfortable, is not going to feel normal, is not in your toolbox. So you literally have to go and have this consciously put into your brain that you want to have these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the spiritual world's way of saying to you right now, they want you to settle into a limiting box and say, the whole reason we're doing this for you is A, because we love you. Mm-hmm. And then B, is because it's going to let you set your highest goals.
Got it.
Around your limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Stop thinking that your whole life is about the 5, right? Which is experience after experience after, you know, you
fly
can't.
Fly by the seat of your pants, expression,
right. Because eventually those experiences will not mean anything if you haven't learned from them, if you haven't truncated it down into some useful, limited information that can be shared with people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So that would be my interpretation of why you're seeing that number. Because you can't work on everything all at the same time. You can't work on all 9 numbers. Right now, Spirit's saying it's a good time for you to work on that.
And so also you were mentioning each month has a different energy. So the month of October is a 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, when you're in a 1 month, it's a journey of new beginnings, increased independence. So it's a good time to start new beginnings?
Yeah. So it depends on your personal year.
Okay.
So you're having a personal year right now of 8.
Okay.
We kind of talked about that.
That's right.
And then you add it to the month, which is 10, which is 1 plus 0 is 1. So you're actually having a month that's 1 plus 8. Which is 9. So you're actually having an ending month. It's really about releasing things that aren't working for you.
What doesn't serve you anymore.
Yes.
Ends of an era. I'm reading your chart here. Practicing selflessness.
And so if you were going to do that around the 8, which is your whole year, it would be focusing on what is not working for me anymore around my beliefs about the material power of this world.
Okay.
That would be whatever limits you, it would be acknowledging that and sending it away.
Okay. Acknowledge and send it away. I can do that.
Okay.
I can do that. I'm not kidding. So basically and I'm holding here Find the Hero in You, which is your awesome book. What obviously motivated you to do this was you finding your hero in yourself and your hero's journey. Empowering women is a really big deal. For you and for everybody, it should be.
Yeah.
Right. And as a parent,
as
to a girl,
men. Yeah, absolutely.
And in light of everything that has been going on, what message do you want to get out there to the men and women listening that you've seen most helpful to the women that you coach, to all of it? You know, what messages do you think that need to be brought to attention more and more that aren't being addressed?
So the only two things, I mean, I can only tell you from my personal experience, but the two things that have helped me is numerology, because as I said before, it connects all of us. Mm-hmm. There's no dogma with it. So it's reflecting on yourself as an individual person and knowing that maybe what's right for you is not right for someone else, and also realizing why you might be clashing with someone. Mm-hmm. If you're a 5 and you're married to a 6, you are going to clash. I mean, the 5 wants to be out there all day long having adventures, and the 6 wants to stay home and, you know, sit in their jammies.
I was just talking to a couple, and this is their deal, and she says that it's what's keeping them together because they just respect the fact that they each like to do different things.
Right, which means that they're conscious of the fact that they have these differences, and that's okay.
Okay.
If you're unconscious and you think, you should be like me, or you should be more accepting, then that's where... So the second piece beyond the numerology is the energy leadership through IPEC coaching that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where you uncover what you're unconscious about.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're unconscious, like I said in the beginning, of the reasons why you're involved in professional cheerleading, the motivations, the expectations that you have, and any woman now, you could say in Hollywood, you know, a lot of them are divulging they're being very vulnerable and saying, like, my motivation was to put up with anything to get what I wanted.
Right.
right? And mm-hmm. so, and because it seems so normal, or they didn't talk about it, they thought it was normal.
Right.
So same thing in professional cheerleading. We're not talking or having these conversations at all. Like, mm-hmm. what are the, because then you can actually do something about it.
Right.
If you're not aware of why the girl in the Lakers is doing her job, and I'm not aware of, mm-hmm. and she's not aware of me, and we never talk about it, there's so many ways in which we could uncover.
Mm-hmm.
So as yucky as it is to keep hearing all these things coming out in the news, like, I don't want to hear, I personally am like, I don't want to hear another story about this poor man who's being drugged. But, mm-hmm. and I don't mean poor, like he didn't do anything wrong. I just mean like, it's going to be, everybody's going to be coming out about things that for both of us just to go, kind of raise our consciousness, everyone can raise their consciousness, including men, just around like, okay, this may be an old way that we did it,
mm-hmm.
and now we're conscious of it.
Right.
And it's icky and it feels weird. So maybe we can start talking about what doesn't feel weird, it doesn't feel bad.
You know, it's so interesting. I was on the phone with somebody today who is a pretty well-known, radio personality, and he's known to kind of go below the belt and, make dick jokes and stuff. And he's like, look, it's my branding. It's what I do. And I said, actually, that's not the right way to go about it. If you stood in your power and talked about the things you wanted to talk about with the audience, that would actually get you even higher, because you're going to the lowest common denominator, thinking that that's all there is out there listening to you, instead of trying to raise their vibration up by actually being intelligent, because you are intelligent. You have a choice, right? And it's interesting too, because just last night I went to a concert of Billy Corgan, now William Patrick Corgan. He has a new album out, and everybody wants him to do the old ones, right? Play Today, Today, play, Tonight, Tonight, Play Today, Play 1979, all the songs that he's known for from the Smashing Pumpkins days. Well, now he has this new album called OG Lala. He played it for the first 40 minutes, just straight through. Nobody knows these songs yet. They're not even being played except for on XRT every once in a while. But it's where he is now.
Yeah.
Right? It's his journey. It's where he is.
Yeah.
And so he's reflecting that out to the audience, and everybody was sitting there in this theater, 800 people or whatever, glued to it. Just glued to it. Like, whoa. And then in the intermission, everyone's talking like, that was amazing. And he played it all acoustic, either piano or guitar. There was no band. It was just William up there. He even went over to the harmonica at one point. I mean, he was doing so much, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was talking about it. So then everyone's like, well, I wonder if he's going to play any of the old stuff. I wonder if he's going to do any of that. Well, maybe. And, it's like I saw Rick Springfield in concert. He still does Jesse's Girl. He knows, he has to do that eventually. But but Billy's like, I might not. So he had a set list that was different from the night before. He did sing Today, and he did sing 1979. And I guess he hadn't done those the night before, because I was comparing notes with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, asking about it, it's like, oh, I was inspired to do it. It came from a natural, inspirational place. But if we keep making decisions out of fear, like, I'm afraid they won't like me if I don't do this. Like, what you deal with, I'm sure, with the cheerleaders all the time.
Yeah.
I'm afraid they won't like me if I don't if I don't sit in his lap.
Right.
I'm afraid they won't like me if I don't go to the after party and drink shots with them.
Yeah.
I'm afraid they won't like me if this, and I want to stay liked, so I got to play by the rules, and these guys decided the rules, and they made the rules, and now I can't break those rules.
Right.
So we have to really create a new foundation of being authentically who you are and not worrying whether they like you or not.
Right.
And I mean, it's hard.
And I like, instead of saying the words fear, I just say unconscious. Because why would you choose to do a lot of the things that we do?
Right.
So when you look back at it, it's like you're just unconscious of the reasons why you allowed these behaviors in your life,
mm-hmm.
because it either seemed normal. Because even now, even though we've gotten, personally on our team, we've gotten past a lot of that stuff.
Good.
There's still a lot, even from my standpoint of the pay rate, or mm-hmm. why do we allow ourselves to, do certain appearances? And they're not bad appearances. They're just things that maybe aren't conducive to their schedule. Like, they'll bend themselves over backwards to make an appearance. Yeah, because they're thinking, I'll get fired. It is fear-based a little bit, but it's also what we're trying to do is bring so many reasons
mm-hmm.
why they should consciously love their job and continue to do it. So that's part of the professional development, is saying, come to love all of the reasons that are beneficial to you, and let's focus on those.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the things that aren't beneficial for us, we can start to wean away.
Mm.
So less, you know, tilted kilt appearances and more, you know, skating with the kids, you know, you know what I'm saying? So it's subtle things and it's slow going, but because we're conscious now, mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, well, like you said, if I come from a place of authenticity, I don't have to just assume that the only place we're going to make appearances is at the bars, because right. guess what? A lot of them now are at corporate events and things where before it was, you're just for the men. Mm-hmm. Now we're for the family.
Right.
But that was a conscious choice that we all made together. And
that's a big switch to go from
huge.
For the men to the
yeah,
family.
Yeah, and we started covering our stomachs, and then it was covering the cleavage. And they're still gorgeous, beautiful women.
Right, right.
But you get that comment every now and then, oh, who told you to put the, you know,
right.
more clothes? We did.
Yeah.
We chose it because we decided that that wasn't the only way to be a representative of a sports team.
Right, and to look beautiful.
Yeah.
You don't have to wear less.
Yes.
I heard a rumor that lovables are paid like $100 a game, if that. Is that
if
true?
If that, yeah.
It's that low?
Yeah, and when I was a lovable, we didn't get paid for practice. I actually paid $4 to park.
Sure.
So we started carpooling. And, you know, like I look back and I think, why did I go home and cry all the time? Like, what was in me that... Mm-hmm. motivated me to do that. And like, and you can read, I also have another book called An Enlightened Cheerleader, and that was mm-hmm. the first one I wrote, and it mm-hmm. tells a lot about my motivations. Like, I was motivated completely outside of the healthy reasons to go. I mean, but I did take a lot of healthy things from it, but mm-hmm. you won't do that if you're not conscious
right.
of your choices. And so the more women in general, especially in jobs that your outer appearance is part of the reason why you're successful.
Right.
The more you understand those motivations and you come to full consciousness of them, can you actually start to, like you said, choose authentic ways of being.
Right. And that is where the real success can grow and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool that you're doing this with these women and trying to empower them. So kudos
yeah.
to you.
Thanks.
Back to the numerology piece. I'm wondering if you've ever met a person that was totally off personality from what their chart tells them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what will happen is someone will look at me like a deer in the headlights for a while, mm-hmm. and I give them all their information, and they'll come back to me and they'll say, oh my gosh, now that I've digested it. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that from people like psychics too. Like, they'll be telling someone and they're so much like out of their, like having an out of body experience when someone's talking to them and they're mm-hmm. like, do you know what I'm talking about? And the person's just looking at them like,
what? No.
But like, what you don't hear is, you know, 3 days later, they're like, oh my God, now I know what you're talking about. And I think because spirituality is so awkward sometimes that
mm-hmm. yeah.
to discuss it, people, if they're nervous at all, they may shut down their awareness. And then as they relax and they take this stuff home and they read about it, they come back. And really what we're doing is we're trying to go through their life movie. It's like, you know, this is your life in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I were to watch you on a special on TV.
Right.
And sometimes it'll be spot on and other times it'll be an exaggerated fiction or mm-hmm. big pieces are missing. But that's kind of how I feel like this is the gateway drug. You learn a little bit and you go, mm-hmm. oh, well, what other forms of spirituality can I start to dive into?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like energy healing or, you know, whatever.
It all works together if we can find the combo platter
yeah.
that works for us. yeah. You know, a little bit from column A, a little from column Z.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad to get some clarity because when you were going through all the stuff, I was sitting there having, you're like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I was absorbing. It was like, oh my gosh, she's totally right. Well, wait a minute, because you say this is very similar to astrology in the sense of it can find patterns of things that are coming or things that have happened and things that will happen.
Well, and a planet is in some way a number in your mm-hmm. chart. So all the planets are in your chart, right? And they're some are more prominent than others,
mm-hmm.
and then but all the other numbers play a part,
right?
So it's similar in that way in astrology,
right? All of them play a part unless you're me, and then there's no 2, 4s or 8s. But other than that, all of them play a part. So excited that you were here, Wynn. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to find you? Your website?
Sure. Yeah, at spirituallogic.info.
Okay. Spirituallogic, L-O-G-I-C.info.
Yeah, with only one L.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. And people, are you like a tweeter, a Facebooker, all that fun stuff?
I am on Facebook, yeah.
Okay.
Under winning teams for the professional cheerleading and spiritual logic or an enlightened cheerleader. I actually have a lot of pages.
I was going to say, girl, you need one page. It's all win all the time.
That's the thing. I have the thing about numerology also teaches you can have several sides to you. And so I have a professional cheerleading light side, and then I have a more serious side that dives into the truths of numerology.
And if anybody out there is listening and would like to have Wynn come and speak to your group, your cheerleaders, or even just your teams, I think there could be some great wisdom gained from that conversation for both the boys on the team, the men on the team, and the women that are cheering on the team. It's a really important dialogue to have, especially in high schools today. I know I was a pom-pom girl.
Were you?
I was. My freshman year.
Where at?
Evanston Township High School.
Nice.
And I was the only freshman on the varsity team.
Oh, wow.
So I was kind of bullied by some of the older girls.
Right.
It was
yeah.
really hard for me.
Yeah.
And so I didn't do it again. I quit in sophomore year, and then I started getting into plays and other things, and that was fine. I could express myself in other ways, but
yeah.
I loved the dance of the pom-pom and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to my old high school and seeing them perform at halftime, I mean, there's just so much grinding. It's all what you see in the videos.
Yeah.
It's like sexting. You know, it's everywhere. And they're like crawling on the field. And I'm just like, I know that that's how people express themselves now, but it just bothers me a little bit because
right.
I feel like it's riling people up in a predatory, seductive way instead of in an empowering
yeah.
way.
Well, and I think for me, I would like for professional cheerleading to continue and not just survive, but thrive, but
yeah.
be in a way that it is a role model to those women, the girls you're talking about in high
mm-hmm.
school.
Yeah.
And so that means that in some cases, professional cheerleading may need to bring awareness to how they're affecting them
right.
and also in the pay. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you are in any way wanting to become a professional dancer, why can't professional cheerleading be that for you and be a well-paid position so that you have something to look up to?
You're compensated for your time.
Yeah, and you're just, I mean, you know, and you're looking up to those women. You're saying, you know, they have a great, mm-hmm. you know, job in this, and it's
why
a short time.
Why is there no pay structure? I mean, come on.
Because we're not organized. So like
okay.
I said, literally there's no association, there's no certification, there's no discussion between people in this industry. So we stay little islands. We don't know what we don't know, and so everyone just succumbs to their franchise, you know.
Rules.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that because most franchises are turning into very professional organizations, and they have...
Well, that they still need to pay the girls for their time. I'm sorry.
And they have.
And the women.
Oh, and so I was going to say, so Lovables now are paid for practice, and
okay.
they do earn at least minimum wage, if not a little bit more. And so those are awesome changes that are happening, but again, like if we need to bring awareness of that to
yeah.
every team who may not be doing that. So if some teams are paying, you know, it's just normal for people to exchange information amongst every other part of the sports industry brand, whether
right.
it's sponsorship or marketing or whatever.
I'm sorry. It's insane. If they can sponsor a Zamboni, they can sponsor this. I mean, truly, this is people, they're putting in their sweat and their equity and their time and they're entertaining, and you would never not
And they're
pay.
Athletes.
Yes, and they're athletes. You never not pay an actor that comes in. I mean,
yes.
I get it that it's a privilege to do the national anthem. That's not for pay. But you know, you just have to pay people.
I will
for their
say
time.
That because I'm a separate company and mm-hmm. I am an entrepreneur, that we have done really well paying the ice crew.
Mm-hmm.
And we do really
for
we
the
do,
Blackhawks.
Yeah, we do right by them. So I will say that my situation in a lot of ways has been an anomaly because we are able to be more entrepreneurial. We are able to be more focused on their welfare
mm-hmm.
as a separate company. And the Blackhawks have done a lot to help us be more integrated into their entire marketing department, family, mm-hmm. and so on. So really, I can't say that they have not been as forward-thinking as me.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, go Blackhawks.
I know.
That's
They're awesome.
Awesome.
And so, you know, I just would like to learn about the rest of the industry. There's just there's nothing.
There's no communication.
There's nothing.
You need to start a foundation, an organization,
yeah.
some sort of
well,
national
yeah.
organization to
and
get this dialogue going.
I am partnered with a professor
mm-hmm.
in California, and we're doing research. So we're doing surveys. We're doing interviews. We'd love any professional cheerleader that may be listening to mm-hmm. check out Winning Teams and email me so that I can get them the survey and just start to reflect on our collective experience and what we can learn from each other and grow. And you know, we don't have to do it in the spotlight as mm-hmm. Hollywood is doing right now. We can right. do it amongst ourselves in a really professional manner.
Mm-hmm. And winning is spelled W-Y-N-N.
Mm-hmm. I-N-G teams.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much. Marie Lacey is your last name. There's no hyphen, huh? Win Marie Lacey is in the house, and she is empowering women everywhere and hopefully educating lots of people about numerology in the process. Thanks for being spiritual, and thanks for being on the program.
Thanks.
No, it was really great to have you. And I am going to pore over my notes and my numbers and see what happens the rest of October and what I can focus on for a very successful November, shedding old belief systems from my last few days of October and forging ahead to find the fours, the eights, and the twos.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's been so fun.
Awesome. Everybody out there, you can learn more about me at jenweigel.com. That's JenWeigel.com. And also, please stay spiritual, damn it, and treat others the way you'd like to be treated. And we'll talk with you next time.